Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here. Happy New Year's Eve. Hope you all are ready for 2024 because it's going to be here either way. But thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you to everybody who's joining with us on Facebook. Don't forget to comment and let us know that you are watching. And you're going to see too much of me this morning because I have a full sheet in front of me. We were talking in Sunday school about, hopefully you've made it through Christmas and had a good time. But we are hitting the ground running with a full calendar for January, and we're excited about some of the different things we have going on. There's no choir practice, no small groups tonight. We'll be back on normal schedule for Wednesday. We will have a NDI Council meeting at 5 on Wednesday night in the conference room. So if you're on the NDI Council, you know who you are and make sure you plan to be there. Normal Wednesday night activities at 6, children, teens, and adult Bible study. We will be starting MOPS again on January 4th, both sessions 9:30 to 11 and 6 to 7:30. So please see Sue Allen or Susan Boney if you can help with either of those sessions in any capacity, and they will be glad to put you to work. And thank you to all our volunteers who are always so faithful to help us out with MOPS and make it a success. Wednesday and Friday of this week at 10 a.m., there will be open gym for walking for anybody who wants to go participate in that. And then we'll continue to have our open prayer time on Friday morning. We do have the menu posted out in the foyer for the Bread of Life. So please sign up for different items. We'll be serving this upcoming Saturday, January 6th. So do need lots of help. So yeah, please. So whether you can bring items and then lots of help to help put that meal together. So please make sure you check that on your way out the door and appreciate all those who have already signed up to help. And then, of course, next Sunday, we will be back on a normal schedule with 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 morning worship, choir practice at 5, small groups at 6 p.m. So everybody will have to kind of get back used to the normal Sunday because we've had a couple that have been a little bit different here the past couple weeks. The East Tennessee Nazarene District's disaster relief will be going over to Clarksville from January 2nd to the 6th. To do some debris cleanup. Pastor Tyler's taking a team over there. And so they are needing tarps, contractor-sized trash bags, and, of course, monetary donations are always welcome as well. So they are heading out this Tuesday. So if you can bring anything, please have that back here at the church by noon on Tuesday so they can make sure that they are able to take that with them. And so make sure if you are making a monetary donation and you drop it in the offering plate, just make sure you mark it for that so that we can make sure it gets to them. But tarps and contractor-sized trash bags, if you can provide any of those before Tuesday at noon, that would be fantastic. And be in prayer for them this week that they can make some positive impacts on some of these people's lives who have been so affected by those storms. As we have done in the past, when we have a new baby, we will be having dops and wipes to welcome Jackson Matthew Thomas, and this is Johnny and Paige's new baby, to the church family. So there's a box out in the foyer for any kind of diapers, any kind of wipes, or any other kind of blessing that you'd like to put in the box, as we have done in the past. So please don't forget about that, and make sure that you put those out there. We do still have a table. I see some stacks of Christmas cards back there, so make sure you pass back through on your way out and pick any of those up that you have missed. Or if somebody else has put them in the box late, like I did last week, then you can pick those up. So don't forget to do that on your way out the door. We also want to extend our condolences to Jack Oden's family. His brother's funeral was yesterday. He passed away several weeks ago. But give Jack a pat on the back as you head out the door as well, because we hate to hear about that. And keep them in your prayers. I also have a card from Debbie Sherrill's family, and it says, "Your kind and thoughtful expression of sympathy is deeply appreciated and gratefully acknowledged. I want to convey my gratitude to my church family during this time of loss. I want to thank you for all the prayer warriors, all the words of encouragement, and the ladies for serving the meal afterward. Thank you so much for the lovely throw. I will treasure it. Love, Debbie Sherrill." So continue to keep Debbie and her family in your prayers with the loss of her brother and his funeral yesterday. All right. I promised you I had a lot, but I think that's it. So thank you all for being here, and hope you have a happy new year.
Just want to acknowledge two young men who are with us today that we've not seen for a while. We want to welcome them for this part of the holiday. We won't get to see them much longer because they're going to be going back to serve in their various roles. We want to say, first of all, Good to see Jordan Bowles with us this morning. Also good to see Brad Carr with us this morning. And let's give them applause. Yes. Thank you so much for your service to our country. We're glad to see you, Pastor Tyler.
Well, stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house and worship you as we close out this year of 2023. God, as we look back over this year, we see some joyous times and some times that maybe weren't so joyous, but I'm thankful that we can look back and see that you were with us every single step of the way, just like you will be with us in the days and years to come. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to rest in that, to rest in the fact that there is a God in heaven who knows about us, sees what we're dealing with, and walks with us every step of the way. God, today we need your presence in this place. And so, God, I pray that you would come and meet with us and that we would know that we have been in the presence of Almighty God. Father, I pray that as this service continues, that you would have your will and your way in this place, and that we would be very careful to give you the honor and praise for everything you do. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. Goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
You know, I'm thankful this morning for a God who is with us, and a God who is good, and a God who we can turn to in times when things may not be all that great. It's in Isaiah where it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the rivers, they won't overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned." There's a very specific reason for that. It's because God says, "I am your God." I think of the words in Scripture that say, "Fear not, I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with my mighty right hand of righteousness." And that's the God that we're talking about this morning. It's at the name of Jesus that mountains tremble. It's at the name of Jesus that lives are changed. And so as we come out of this year of 2023 that's definitely had its bumps and bruises, and go into this year of 2024, I'm thankful that we can do that with a faith in a God who is able to change and rearrange. I'm thankful that we can do that with a name that is greater than any other name. And so this morning as we sing together, that's what I want us to think about. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name.
there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Thank you that we can breathe the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you when trials and circumstances and situations get far beyond what we are able to control. Thank you, Lord, that we can breathe your precious name. Thank you, Lord, that we can speak your name over situations and circumstances. Just as you stood in that boat that evening and you said, "Peace, be still." Thank you, God, that you can speak peace to our hearts. You change our circumstances. And if you don't change them, Father, you at least give us peace and strength and help to meet our circumstances. And we give you praise and honor and glory for that today. We're grateful that we can gather here on this last Sunday morning of this year. There have been, as Pastor Tyler said, some bruises and some bumps. But thank you, God, that you are the God that heals. You are the God that helps. You are the God that gives hope. And we have not faced one situation or circumstance this year alone. Your presence has gone before us. And you have sustained us and you have helped us. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. There are those of our congregation this morning who need your healing touch. Thank you that you are the great physician. May you reach your hand down, touch them and heal them and help them. May they know, Lord, that there are people who love them and who appreciate them, who are lifting them to the very throne of grace right now, believing you for their help. Lord, there are those of our congregation who have gone through sorrow in the past few weeks. We ask you, God, that you would comfort them and that you would help them. May they sense your touch even right now. May they feel your sustaining power. You are the God of all comfort, and we are so thankful for that. Just a few moments, Lord, we're going to look into your word, and I pray, Father, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would come and speak to our hearts and to our lives. May we leave this place this morning knowing the God that we talk about and that we preach about. May we know him in a more real and a more intimate way. And for the things that you're going to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives and in our church in this service this morning, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
You know, I already said this once, but I'm going to say it again. I'm thankful that God has been good in the year of 2023. And I know sometimes it's hard to look at various situations and see the goodness of God in those situations. I was just thinking back to something that one of the doctors actually said to me when we were hemmed up in the hospital back in the spring with Ellie. And I had come to a kind of a frustrated place, and I was just kind of venting my frustrations to this doctor. And this is what he said. He said, I know you don't see it right now because you're living it, but in the grand scheme of things, it's all going to be okay. And so I want us to understand something, and it's this. You may not see it right now because you're living it, but for the Christian, in the grand scheme of things, it's all going to be okay. God has been good Amen. And will continue to be good, regardless of the situations and the circumstances we face. And I'm so thankful for that.
Winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies God has shown. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been when I go to sleep each night. I've had my share of hard times, wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I've felt your arms around me as I've faced life's greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, I've known more joy than hurt, as your grace flows down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. I've had my share of hard times, wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. The best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night.
God's people said, wow. I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 18 this morning. I'm going to be reading this morning from the New Living Translation. It makes the verse that I really want us to deal with a little more clear to us this morning. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 18. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowd, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God. He is near to the Father's heart, and he has revealed God to us." This is the word of the Lord. Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Last Sunday was Christmas Eve, and today is New Year's Eve. The last time that we were together last week, we were all in that final rush to get everything done to make sure that Christmas was going to be all that we had hoped it would be, and today we're thinking about a new year. I remember the first or second Christmases when our girls were small, and they are here this morning, and so I'm glad to have all this crew over here. We played games last night and had a good time and laughed hysterically, and I'm not going to tell you about that, but anyway. But I remember how Susie would work, and she would get, and you notice how I said that too. Susie would work, and she would get all the Christmas gifts together and would wrap them, and we would keep them under the tree. Now, this was when both of them were small. And they're there, they're working, they're unwrapping the gifts, and all of a sudden you look around and the gift is still in the floor, but they, as little bitty kids, have the paper and they are having a wonderful time with the paper. I figured out that what we should have done was just bought a roll of paper and given it to them. It would have saved us a whole lot of money, you know. You know, a lot of times we do get so caught up in all the things that go around an event that we really forget about what the event is for, the reason for the event. It's easier to get caught up in those things. It's easy to get caught up in Christmas and Advent and all those things and forget really why we are celebrating. It's easy to get so caught up in the lights and the things that glitter that we forget the most important thing. The past few weeks we've been talking about the gift of Christmas. We're still kind of in that frame of reference, if you'll let me, but we're still there for just today. We talked about all the things that the gift was, all the things that the gift is, and let me just go ahead and say this, nothing has ever compared to the gift. Larry King, he used to interview people, for those of you who are younger than most of us, he used to interview people on CNN, and he was once asked if he could interview one person in all of history, who would he interview? And his first answer, even though he was Jewish, he said, "I would want to interview Jesus." And then he said, "I would ask him if he was indeed virgin born, because if he was," listen to what he said, "if he was, it would define history for me." Let me just go ahead and tell you that the birth of Jesus that we've been celebrating is the most significant event in all of history. And that makes what's going to happen tomorrow, and I know it's just another day, that's what makes tomorrow and what's going to happen for the next 366 days, because I believe it is a leap year. Did I get that right? Thank you. That's what's going to make the next 366 days so important and help us to get through those days. And so this morning we're going to be talking about the gift of God given to us, the gift of Himself. And so when you begin to look about this, the first thing that the gift Himself does for us is that it allows us to see who God is and what God is like. Look at verse 18. I love how the New Living Translation says this. Verse 18, it says here, "No one has ever seen God but the unique one." The unique one who is Himself God. "And He is near the Father's heart, and He has revealed God to us." He has revealed God to us. More and more people are calling themselves atheists or agnostics. You know, I don't really see how you can look at creation or what is around us and wonder about it. And instinctively, I think we look at all of this and we have to know that there had to be somewhere an intelligent designer that put all this together. I'm not sure people are asking anymore, is there a God? I kind of think now they're asking, who is God and what's He like? Who is God and what's He like? Well, nature can tell us a lot about Him. I mean, it tells us about His power. We can see His beauty. But nature can't talk to us about His personality. Nature can't really show us His immense love for each one of us. But when we look at Jesus, we see God. When we look at Jesus, we see God, because John says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Wow. So, who is this God? What's He like? I mean, we understand that because we all have this moral compass within us that allows us to know when we do something that we shouldn't do. I mean, it's like I've said so many times before. You walk into the room and a child is there with their hand in the cookie jar. They know they're not supposed to be there because they've been told before, but they're there, and you ask them, "What are you doing?" "Nothing." We laugh about the kids, but I'm going to tell you something, adults. We're just as guilty. I'm smiling. You know it's the truth. There is this moral compass within us that we understand that we violated His rules, we've abused His grace, and we are at His mercy. Some people have this idea that God is this vindictive God, that He's going to get us. Others go so far to the other extreme that they just say, "Oh, God just winks at all that. It's all okay." Neither one of those are real true. Jesus came to reveal to us what God is like. Jesus basically said, "I am God's Son, and he who has seen me has seen the Father." And when He said that word, it blew their minds. Because they did not see God as a father. I mean, it was a revolutionary idea for the Jews of that day. For a whole lot of religions today, it is still a revolutionary idea that there could be a father. A father that cares about His children. And so Jesus came and He introduced us to the Father. I mean, God has revealed Himself more and more to His people as time has gone along. There are over 80 different names in the Old Testament for God. Initially, He was known as Elohim, which means the strong creator. And then when Abram comes along, he was introduced as El Shaddai, which means the all-powerful God. Later, when God said, "I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to go up into the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him there," Abraham did everything that God told him to do, but when he got to the mountain and he was ready to take Isaac's life, he looked, and in the bush was a ram for sacrifice. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, because the Lord will provide. He's known by Jehovah Shalom, which means God is peace. He's known by Jehovah Rophi, which means the Lord is my healer. And you go on through the Old Testament, and name after name after name, it begins to reveal to us the personality of God and this God who wanted to have relationship with us. But then Jesus comes along. And Jesus tells us, He tells us to address God as our Father. You know, it's, and this blew their minds because they saw, if you read the article that I put there in the bulletin this morning, they saw God is somewhere out there, looking, watching. For some of them, they saw God somewhere out there looking, watching, waiting to zap them for what they had done wrong. But Jesus uses a word. Jesus uses a word, Father. Paul goes on and uses the word Abba, which is like what we use as a term of endearment for our fathers. It means daddy or papa. It's very intimate. And based on the usage, that evidently is the one that God likes the best. Because we know that the name that Jesus uses here, He uses it over 200 times in the New Testament. So when you think of God, Jesus is saying that we can have this close, intimate relationship with our Father. And Jesus says, I've come to show you what He's like. I've come to show you what He's like. This loving Father who is full of grace and truth, a Father who has such undying love for you that He's willing to take on flesh and then be nailed to a cross. I mean, it's hard for us to understand that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, but it's even harder for me to understand that the Word would become flesh knowing all along that He would die on a cross. We all know we're going to die. We just don't think about it much. But can you imagine that thought process? I had someone tell me, Pastor, I'm not afraid of dying. It's the process that bothers me. But to know, because from the foundation of the earth, the plan of God had been laid, to know that the death would be on a cross and it would not be just a pretty death. And He was dying for people that even though He loved them, they rejected Him. Some of you have. Shall I go a little further? All of us have. Paul said that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. Not me. Oh yeah, me. Me. I mean, you begin to think of it. Jesus says that He has come in order that we might be able to know who God is and what God is like. He says, if you've seen Me, then you've seen the Father. A Father full of grace, a Father full of truth, a Father full of love for us. So the gift Himself really shows us what God is, who God is and what God is like. But the gift Himself also shows us the approachability of God. Now, this is kind of in line with what I've already been saying. You see, they never thought that they could approach God. They had this idea that God was somewhere out there, that He was watching. But they never thought about the approachability of God, because in the tabernacle, God had been separated. God had been separated, and only the high priests could go to Him, so to speak. But here comes Jesus. Jesus comes along, and when Jesus comes, He doesn't come with all the pomp and the circumstance of a king. He comes to a young lady, and she has to be scared to death. He comes to a father who, an earthly father, that's wondering what's really going on. But I had an angel talk to me, and so therefore I'm going to do what the angel said. He comes to a group of dirt people out in a field. He comes to Magi as they come and they worship him. He comes to people just like you and just like me. People who are messed up. People who have problems. God is no longer somewhere out there. God is here. He's talking to them. He's walking down the road with them. He's laughing at their stupid jokes. He's saying things that are making the disciples snicker in behind him and the scribes and the Pharisees furious. He's riding into town on a donkey with people waving palm branches because they are sure that the king has come. He has come. But there's something very common about him. I mean, Jesus was a very popular name at that point in time. It was kind of like Joe, you know? And I'm not being sacrilegious. I'm not trying to bring it down. I'm just telling you, it was Joshua in the Hebrew, and it meant Jehovah is salvation. And so there were a lot of people named Jesus. And he didn't come and separate himself from us. He didn't come and announce like one fellow. I walked up to a guy one time at a retreat, and I won't tell you his name, but he walked up to me and he said, "Hello, I am the Reverend Jim Bob Smith." I thought, big deal, bud. I am the Reverend William Boney. And at that point in time, that and 99 cents would have bought you a cup of coffee at McDonald's, you know. I've never really liked titles. I like pastor because that really it talks about shepherding. But unless I'm signing a legal document, you will never see me sign anything Reverend William Boney. Jesus didn't come looking for titles. Jesus came looking for people. He made God approachable. He made God so that a lady who had suffered with an issue of blood for 12 years could say, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed." And she did it. And you know what happened? She was healed. He was approachable, and he was so approachable that this little guy ran and climbed up a tree because he was short. I relate to that. Don't say anything about it. And he walks up to the tree and he says, "Why don't you come down, because I've got to go to your house today." He ate with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, and it infuriated the religious people of his day because God was now approachable. Somebody said he was touchable. He was reachable. What's more, he was ordinary. If he were here today, you probably wouldn't notice him as he walked through a shopping mall. He wouldn't turn heads by the clothes he wore, the jewelry he flashed. He was the kind of guy that you would invite to a football game and watch at your house. He would wrestle on the floor with your kids. He would doze on your couch. He would cook steaks on your grill. He'd laugh at your jokes and tell a few of his own. And when you spoke, he would listen to you as if he had all time and eternity. And you would invite him back to your house. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. You have not come to darkness, sadness, and storms. You have not come to the noise of a trumpet or the sound of a voice like the one of the people of Israel heard and begged not to hear another word. What they saw was so terrible, Moses said, I'm shaking with fear, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands of angels gathered together with joy. You have come to God, the judge of all people." And then he finishes this out by saying, "You have come to Jesus." Amazing. We have come to Jesus. We've not come to thunder and fire. We've come to the one who has been made flesh and set up his tent on the street where we live. We can approach him with our problems, with our circumstances, with our sins, knowing that he loves us and that he died for us. But the last thing I want you to see this morning is that this gift who has come understands us. He understands us like nobody else. And that may sound a little strange, but as I've said many times as I've gone through the message this morning and over the past few weeks, the Word has been made flesh and He has dwelt among us. He has walked in our shoes. He has experienced what we have experienced. At the funeral yesterday, I talked to the family about the fact that Jesus wept. He has experienced loss. He's experienced it all. He knows what it feels like to be human because he walked on this earth for 33 years and he experienced everything that you and I would experience. He got thirsty. He got tired. He laughed. He cried. I don't know what you're going through this morning. And I may not understand it completely. In fact, I may not understand it at all. But Jesus does. Jesus does, because he's went through it. When I was 9 years old, they found out that I had Perthes disease. Perthes disease is a deterioration of the hip joint, and what happens at that is the blood flow gets cut off to the cartilage that's in your hip socket, and so the cartilage goes away, and what you have is bone grinding against bone in there. It's not the most pleasant experience that you'll ever have, and so that we went and had all kinds of x-rays, and the doctor told mom and dad, well, he's never going to walk normally again. He will never run. He will never do all of these things that most little boys will do. But he's going to have to walk on crutches. And not only is he going to have to walk on crutches, but we're going to put this sling on him. And what that thing was, it went around my shoulders here and met in the back, and then there was a band that went down to a strap that was around my foot that held my right foot up as I walked on crutches for 3 years. That's the reason I do not play softball or baseball or any of those sports, because I never learned. And I played softball for the church in Albertville, and one of the young men at the church that year, the next year after I played for them the first year, Todd came to me and he said, now, Pastor, you're not going to play this year, are you? Went to the Grant Park Zoo in Atlanta with Ralph and Betty Gilmer and their son Brian, and they knew that to walk through Grant Park Zoo was going to be awful. And so they got a wheelchair and put me in the wheelchair. And they rolled me all over the park. And I'll never forget the looks that I got as I went through that park. And as people would look at me, and some would get irritated because the kid in the wheelchair is blocking the entrance to this event. You know, I understand what people go through who walk on crutches. I understand what people go through who are in a wheelchair. I was not in a wheelchair that long. And I just want to tell you that when we went to the doctor the last time, mom is a witness. She is here this morning. And so if you don't believe me, I know you'll believe her. When we go to the doctor the last time, Dr. Dahlstrom looks at my mom and dad and he said, I don't understand it. I have never seen anything like it. If I did not know this child had this disease, I wouldn't be able to tell that he had it. And I looked at Dr. Dahlstrom and I said, God did it. Isn't that what I said? You see, I understand some of those things, but I don't understand what some of you have gone through because I've not lived in your shoes. I've not gone through some of the heartache that you have gone through. I've not gone through some of the hurt that you have gone through. I have not gone through some of the health crises that you have faced. So I may not be able to relate to that, but can I tell you this morning that there is a Savior There is a Savior who understands us. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Because he has been tempted in every way that we have been, yet was without sin. He understands us. He knows what it's like. He knows you. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. Anyway. Application. Well, tomorrow we begin a new year. All the anticipation of last week and the gifts and what was wrapped and under the tree, that's over with. I hope in the hustle and the bustle of all of it, you didn't forget why we were doing what we were doing. I tried to remind you of that every week. But no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, the gift that has been given to us is still offered to us. It doesn't have to happen on December the 25th. It can happen on December the 31st. It can happen on January the 1st. It can happen any day because he loves you. There's an old preacher that I read about that would end every sermon the same way, and he would say, God loved you first, now you have to love him back. I read that this week and I thought, oh my goodness, that's good. That's what he wants. He simply wants you to love him back. He simply wants you to live for him every day. He wants to be a part of your life because he has come. We can approach him. He will help us. And my prayer for you, for all of us this year, is that we're going to enter into this new year having received the best gift that we could have ever received, and that's Jesus. I just speak the name of Jesus. That song goes through and it names all kinds of things that we are facing in our culture, that we are facing in our lives. And I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you're dreading about 2024. You just simply need to speak the name of Jesus. If you've not received the gift, if you not received the gift of eternal life, I'm glad to tell you that it's as simple as ABC. It's admitting that you've sinned, and we all have. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born into this world, that he lived, that he died, that he was resurrected, that he has ascended into the heavens, and is confessing him as Lord of your life. Just that easy. Just that easy. And the question that I have for you is the question I've asked you the past 4 weeks. Have you received the gift of God? Have you received the gift of himself? Have you received the I am? If not, you can before you leave today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together this morning to look into your word. We're thankful for your presence that has been so real to us this morning. Thank you that we can speak the name of Jesus into every situation, every circumstance. Thank you for the peace that we receive when we speak that name. Thank you for what you do in us and through us and for us. Today we're on the last day of this year. Just a few hours, we'll step into a new year. Maybe some of us this morning, we've had a rough 2023 and we're wondering what 2024 is going to be like. Help us, oh God, to speak the name of Jesus. There are those here this morning and they don't know you as their personal Savior. I ask you, God, that even now as they are sitting where they are sitting, that they would simply say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Help me to live for you every day. Help me to go in a different direction than I've been going. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, that when we do that, you will come in, you will forgive us of our sins, you will give us new life, abundant life, here and now. Not just somewhere out in the future, but right now. You have come to dwell among us. You've come to set up your tent on the street where we live. And we rejoice in that this morning. I thank you for this time that we've had together. I pray that you'd bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name. Pastor Tyler, would you and Susie come? I want us to sing that last song that we sang. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And if you need to pray, there's no specifics on the altar this morning. If you just simply want to come and talk to Jesus, that's why we're singing. And if no one comes, we're going to go home and celebrate the new year this evening. But maybe you need to pray before you leave today. If you do, the altar's open. You're more than welcome to come. Amen.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Stand as we sing it one more time. May God bless you. I'm so glad you were here this morning. I hope you have a wonderful day and a very happy new year. Let's speak the name of Jesus. Amen. Same time.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
God bless you. You're dismissed.